Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you're doing well today. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Now, we've got a great show for you, a terrific show lined up for you. By the way, our condolences to the family of Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer died. That word coming out earlier today, very sad news. But you can always count on somebody throwing a punch or throwing a chair during the Jerry Springer show. Anyway, sad news, and certainly our thoughts and prayers are with the Springer family. All right, so we've got some new info on Tucker Carlson. I know a lot of people really following this story, and I will say that this is just bad news all around for Fox. I mean, bad news. The networks lost some $800 million in market value since they fired Tucker, and the ratings are in a tailspin. We understand the latest, and by the way, Brian Kilmeade hosting in place of Tucker, trying to hold down the fort in that time slot, and it's just not going good. They've lost about 50% of the audience, and the ratings are collapsing among this key demographic. Now, I don't want to get into the weeds about ratings and all that kind of stuff, but this is an important demographic, because this is, if you're an advertiser, you're looking to reach these viewers, 25 years old to 54 years old, and they've pretty much collapsed. Third place, Fox News in that time slot, third place, MSDNC beating Fox News. I mean, these are levels, according to Mediaite, that Fox News has not seen since before 9/11. That would have been in 2001. So this is really not good for the network. Brian Kilmeade is out there defending Fox. You know, Steve Bannon has not been very kind to Fox News Channel, and Kilmeade was blasting Steve Bannon and pointed out that Bannon got fired from the Trump administration. And so Kilmeade is on a tear. He says, you know, a lot of folks are wondering what the future of Fox News is going to look like. And he said that Steve Bannon declared war on Fox. Well, I think a lot of people would contend that Fox News has declared war on Fox. And Kilmeade is out there defending Fox against these attacks. And now Fox News is saying all you people attacking them are far right extremists. So Kilmeade goes on. He says Fox is just as conservative as ever. He said, did Sean Hannity change? Did Laura Ingraham change? Did Bret Baier change? Well, Bret Baier is a liberal. Did The Five, the number one show on all of television, change? Did Neil Cavuto change? Neil Cavuto is a liberal who comes in third place in his time slot. So Kilmeade is basically saying nothing has changed. He says for Steve Bannon to come out and criticize Fox, he says this guy got fired from the Trump administration, and he's going off from there. So, and he calls himself a Trump. No, Kilmeade is calling Steve Bannon a Trump loyalist, as if that's a bad word or something. I don't know. So anyway, look, Kilmeade is out there. He's going to be the attack dog. And Kilmeade is out there saying, well, Fox has never told us what we can and cannot say on the air. Look, I like Brian, but that's not true. And I know that because it happened to me. I can tell you. I was told towards the end of my time there, don't say anything that's going to irritate the alphabet activist. And don't say anything about the illegal aliens being illegal aliens invading our country. And especially don't say that the illegal aliens are invading the country, even though the illegal aliens are invading the country. So anyway, last night I thought this is interesting timing. Tucker Carlson at 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern, posted a video on Twitter, and it's his first message since leaving Fox, and I thought it was very interesting. Let's take a listen. Cut six.
Good evening. It's Tucker Carlson.
Hi,
One of the first things you realize when you step outside the noise for a few days is how many genuinely nice people there are in this country. Kind and decent people. People who really care about what's true. And a bunch of hilarious people also. A lot of those. It's got to be the majority of the population, even now. So that's heartening. The other thing you notice when you take a little time off is how unbelievably stupid most of the debates you see on television are. They're completely irrelevant. They mean nothing. In 5 years, we won't even remember that we had them. Trust me, as someone who's participated. And yet at the same time, and this is the amazing thing, the undeniably big topics, the ones that will define our future, get virtually no discussion at all. War, civil liberties, emerging science, demographic change, corporate power, natural resources. When was the last time you heard a legitimate debate about any of those issues? It's been a long time. Debates like that are not permitted in American media. Both political parties and their donors have reached consensus on what benefits them, and they actively collude to shut down any conversation about it. Suddenly, the United States looks very much like a one-party state. That's a depressing realization, but it's not permanent. Our current orthodoxies won't last. They're brain dead. Nobody actually believes them. Hardly anyone's life is improved by them. This moment is too inherently ridiculous to continue, and so it won't. The people in charge know this. That's why they're hysterical and aggressive. They're afraid. They've given up persuasion. They're resorting to force. But it won't work. When honest people say what's true, calmly and without embarrassment, they become powerful. At the same time, the liars who've been trying to silence them shrink, and they become weaker. That's the iron law of the universe. True things prevail. Where can you still find Americans saying true things? There aren't many places left, but there are some, and that's enough. As long as you can hear the words, there is hope. See you soon.
All right, there you go. A couple of things. Tucker says, see you soon. We're not sure what that means. It implies that he's going to be doing more of these kinds of things, and we'll see where he lands. There are a lot of folks that are wanting Tucker to jump on board, including One America News, and they're offering to triple the salary he was making at Fox News Channel. Now, whether or not they've got the cash in the bank to do that, I don't know. I don't know. But where would you like to see Tucker land? Newsmax certainly would be a great choice. As a matter of fact, out of all the conservative outlets out there, Newsmax is the only one, I believe, that has the firepower and the distribution to take on Fox News one-on-one. And if somehow Newsmax were able to get a hold of Bill O'Reilly, Tucker Carlson, and Megyn Kelly, I think it's on. And I think they would be able to take down Fox News Channel. And that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at a mass exodus of conservatives who say, you know what, that's it, we've had enough. We're not doing this anymore. Because Fox, since Roger Ailes passed and was fired and then passed, it's not the same network. And everybody knows that. Every time I go out to give a speech, and this was in years past, not recently, but you know, when I was at Fox, people would pull me aside and they're like, man, what's going on at Fox News? Something's weird. You know, something's changing. Yeah, and they've been very smart about it. They've been making the changes over time. You know, it's little by little, whittling people in, whittling people out. They've been doing a pretty methodical job of that, but they're gonna start coming down and they're gonna start playing hardball. We still don't know why, and folks, nobody knows. If you look at all the reports coming out about Tucker and whatever happened, nobody knows the real story. Will we ever find out? I don't know. Even Tucker says he doesn't know He was just as shocked as everybody else. So is it about the text messages? Is it about Rupert Murdoch's now ex-fiance who said, you know, that God had ordained Tucker Carlson to do what he was doing? We don't know. Everybody's got their own little private sources, and sooner or later, you're going to, we may one day find out what the real story is, but right now we just don't know. And I think that is probably more troubling because they took their most popular person and gave him the heave-ho. And I suspect it's because of Paul Ryan. That's what I think. All right, we got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. A crazy story out of North Carolina where lawmakers are trying to do something about this sheer ignorance of young people and the American way of life. And we're going to get into that as well. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our website. And we have some great stories up. I would encourage you to check those out. ToddStearns.com. We'll be right back. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, folks, welcome back. Good to have you with us today. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, ToddStearns.com. You know, a lot of people have been asking about my column, and we do have ads on ToddStearns.com to pay the bills, so you don't have to fork over any money. We do that as a public service. But a lot of you folks are saying, hey, Todd, you know, we're tired of the ads. We're tired of the, you know, all of that whatever. And so can you help us out here? And we can. However, you are going to have to pay for it. So we have launched a subscription service over at Substack. That's toddstearns.substack.com, toddstearns.substack.com, and $5 a month, you get all of my content advertising free. So head over there, and if you don't mind the ads, you just stay put, but if you want to pay for the $5 a month, which is a very reasonable fee, go ahead and do that over at Substack and just look for my name. So good news for all of you Trump supporters out there. We have some brand new polling data coming in from Newsmax over at Emerson College. So Emerson has a brand new poll out today. And folks, I'm telling you, Donald Trump is crushing it. I mean crushing it. This is amazing. 61% of voters say Trump has their support. He's got a 46-point lead over Ron DeSantis right now. The Fox News poll has Trump with a 32-point lead over the entire Republican field. Now, that could change when or if DeSantis decides to run. The governor says he's going to unveil an exploratory committee, rather, and that there may be some sort of announcement coming in mid-May. That's sources telling NBC News. So my question for you is, why do you think Trump is doing so well? You know, if you watch Fox News, if you read a lot of the conservative publications, they're saying that most Republicans don't want Trump to run. They're tired of the drama. They don't believe Trump can win over independents. And yet all of the polling data that's currently out there says not only is that not true, it's absolutely not true. I mean, President Trump in the Emerson College poll, 46 points over Ron DeSantis. So what do you think is going on there? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Let's go to New York, Sam on the line. Hi, Sam. What say you?
Hi, good morning. How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I'm a huge President Trump supporter. However, I'd like to see him do more to really hammer DeSantis. You know, as we know, Steve Bannon put it prior to the last election, you know, he wants to kill the baby while it's still in the cradle or whatever the saying was that he said. So in terms of President Trump going after DeSantis, I think what he should do is he should come up with something like maybe Casey DeSantis year.
Folks, we're not playing that game. So the issue here with Trump and DeSantis, they've got to make sure they don't kill each other, right? That's what this is really ultimately all about. They've got to make sure that they don't kill each other. And Trump is out there trying to destroy DeSantis when he really shouldn't be doing. There's no need to destroy DeSantis. And that's what I don't understand here is why the Trump team is going out of its way to make sure that Ron DeSantis not only does not run or even win in 2024, they want to make sure this guy never, ever is able to run for office again. So my question to you, and again, Trump supporters, and I'm one of them, are you okay with that? Are you okay with Trump coming in and literally obliterating every person who might possibly run for the presidency in the next, I don't know, the next 8 years? Because you've got others out there that are thinking about throwing their name into that. I think that's one of the reasons why Pompeo said, you know what, I'm sitting this one out. But there are plenty of other folks out there that would be just fine. They need the experience. They need to get out there. And you know what? Ron DeSantis, great governor, aside from whatever he's doing with Disney. And I hate what Disney's doing, but I don't want big government coming in and dictating what a private company can and cannot do. At the same time, I don't believe that those private companies should have any special benefits that others are not eligible for. And I get why DeSantis is trying to do this, but I think it sets up a bad precedent because you could have, and just think about this, you could have a Democrat governor in Florida one day, and that Democrat governor might want to turn on a lot of Christian business owners, and they will use the same rules and regulations that Ron DeSantis is using against Disney. I mean, so again, this will all wash out in the end. But my question to you is, do you think Trump should destroy DeSantis? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I'm telling you, it is not a good situation within the Republican Party right now. We need all hands on deck, and we need everybody focused on the prize. And what is the prize? Stopping the Democrats from turning us into a socialist nation. That's all we should be focused on. Don't care about what happened in 2020. And if that's the party platform, that we're going to get out there and we're going to campaign on what happened in 2020, we will lose. I can't stress it enough. We have got to focus on what Biden has done to this country and how Trump is going to get us out of it. And if we can do that, and if the Republicans can do that, we're going to be okay. Otherwise, we're not going to win because people are suffering right now. That it's plain and simple. People are suffering. And DeSantis, I know Trump is out there bashing DeSantis. Guess what? DeSantis doing the exact same thing. They're playing a lot of ugly games behind the scenes. But at least Trump has the decency to call DeSantis out by name. Ron DeSantis won't even do that. And that's what concerns me about Ron DeSantis. Can the guy take a punch and can he punch back? And right now, he's proving that he can't. And he gets his feelings hurt. We'll see how this plays out, folks. So I'm telling you, we gotta get this figured out, and we've got to do it quickly. All right, got to take a break. We're going to go to the phone lines coming up, 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code Starnes. All right, let's get right to the phones here. As promised, we try to deliver. 844-747-8868. Lauren joins us from the Talk Station in North Carolina. Hi, Lauren. What's on your mind today?
Hey, not much, Todd. Getting ready to go to work here. There's a saying I learned when I was in the military. You don't have to blow out someone else's candle to make yours look brighter. And, you know, DeSantis is not the enemy at all. He's on our side. Now, we have many people on our side, and some are better than others. But Trump needs to focus on what the enemy is, not who isn't the enemy. You get what I'm saying? You know, he's Reagan had that rule, the 13th commandment, that, you know, don't go after your own people. Something, I know I'm paraphrasing it.
Well, and, yes, I think it was the 11th commandment, but yes, unless there are a couple of, well, I'm Baptist, so we may have left off a couple of those, but yeah, I get your point.
And you look at Trump's administration, the high turnover and the disparaging of people that were in his own administration, and this is where a lot of people soured on him. If it came down to two choices and there was no Democrat in the race and it was Trump and DeSantis, I would vote for DeSantis because DeSantis has shown a lot more class and a lot more character. Okay? And I'm talking Christian character. I'm a born-again believer. Okay? And, yeah, DeSantis isn't perfect either. And that's the other thing. You have said this, and I've said it, to people, we don't trust in men, we trust in the Lord. So men are fallible. And we got to be careful how we glorify certain people and set them up on pedestals.
Lauren, let me ask you a question. Being an evangelical, there is some movement and some rumblings within the Republican Party that the culture war issues, and I'm talking about the pro-life issue, talking about traditional marriage, that those kinds of issues and transgenderism, that those kinds of issues are actually dragging the party down. Ronna McDaniel blamed the pro-lifers for the loss in Wisconsin. And then you have Peter Thiel, who's a major, major Republican donor, big dollars, saying he's pulling out because of all the culture war stuff. And I'm wondering what would happen if the Republican Party says, you know what? Pro-life, that's a dead issue now. We're, you know, Roe v. Wade overturned, we're not going to worry about that anymore. Supreme Court's already ruled on gay marriage, so we're throwing that out the window too, and the transgenderism stuff. Would you still be a supporter of the Republican Party?
Well, I'd be a supporter of what's right and wrong. And standing up for life is absolutely right. If you don't get life right, then you don't get any of the other things right. And I'm tired of, another thing I'm tired of in America is we call these things mental problems. Transgenderism. No, it's sin. Romans 1 tells what it is. Okay? And that's the problem we have in America. We're not willing to say what is right and wrong. Now, I don't want to support the Republican Party if they're not going to stand up for what's right. You know, and I'll give it to President Trump. He did more for the pro-life movement than any president in my lifetime. I mean, he did, and you got to be thankful for that. And so, you know, we need people to stand. And in Ephesians, when it talks about putting on the armor of God, the very last thing it says, and having done all, to stand. That's what we got to do. The reason we lose elections is because people will fail to stand.
Oh, the reason the reason we lost an election is only 20% of people like you and me actually went out and voted. That's the problem.
Yeah. Right. So, but that means standing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm aware of that, Lauren. Yeah, I get it. And look, we're going to let you go. We've got a lot of other folks that want to weigh in on this, but I get your point. And I just wonder, and I will ask this question for our Florida listeners. Is it really bad down there? I mean, is it really bad? The Trump campaign put out a press release, and this is the opening sentence of the press release. The real DeSantis record is one of misery and despair. He has left a wake of destruction all across Florida. So is that true? And I would like to hear from Florida listeners. I mean, my understanding is Ron DeSantis won re-election in a landslide. So if that's the case, why are people, I mean, if Florida is really that bad, first of all, why are all these people moving to Florida? And why would you stay there? Why would you not be evacuating Florida? If it's that bad, I don't know. I don't live there. I haven't been there in a couple of years. But has DeSantis destroyed Florida, as the Trump campaign has alleged? 844-747-8868. Let's go to Michael in Louisiana. Hey, Michael, what say you?
Hey, Todd. My thought on this whole deal with Trump and DeSantis is Trump needs to shut up and quit bad-mouthing DeSantis. Just let it go, you know. DeSantis got a little bit of fame coming in there, coming off of COVID and his election there in Florida. So let him have his time and his fame, you know, and let him enjoy that. Trump don't need to be bad-mouthing him. People get sick of that. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear the off back and forth about Trump and every little bitty thing. He needs to choose his battles wisely. I mean, we got more important things here to worry about in this country right now than we do worrying about Ron DeSantis. And right now, he's not even running. So you're wasting your breath, wasting your time, wasting your effort. What I say, as far as Fox News goes, I care less about Fox News, care less about Tucker. He's wishy-washy anyway, and Hannity's nothing but a glorified book salesman. he just wants to talk about himself all the time.
Well,
and Fox Radio people, they're all attitude too. I just can't take any of them. It just drives me insane.
I hear you, Michael. And again, we don't work off talking points here, and you can always tell when people are working off talking points because they say the same thing the exact same way every single time. And you get a lot of that on Fox News. That's one of the reasons I appreciated Tucker. At least he wasn't working off talking points. But I will say this, the man privately hates Donald Trump, and he said so in those text messages. So, you know, it is what it is. Everybody's backstabbing everybody. And Michael, I think even people in the conservative media world, there are a lot of grifters out there now, and you just have to do your homework and figure out, hey, who's the real deal and who's just trying to sell you a book?
That's right.
All right, Michael, appreciate that call. Yes, sir. All right, there you go, Michael from Louisiana. You know, it's interesting. A lot of those folks don't even write their own books. I'm not going to name names on that, but I'm just telling you. Let's go to Bob in North Carolina. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you, sir.
I just want to lay in on the Trump-DeSantis issue. I think Trump needs to lay off DeSantis and really push what he has done as president of the United States. DeSantis is, like you said, and the previous caller said, that DeSantis is not even in the race right now. So I would leave him alone. And plus, since you're so far ahead of the guy, I would just blow him off like a fly. I mean, I wouldn't even give him the time of day, DeSantis. I like DeSantis, don't get me wrong. He's done good for Florida, but President Trump has done good for America.
He has, and there's an old saying, don't punch down. You know, if you're going to go after somebody, you know, look at somebody up the ladder, not down.
That's right. And the thing about Trump is I know he's kind of rough when it comes to talking, but he kind of reminds me of a guy that's trying to quit smoking, and he's been smoking for 30 years. It's hard to quit.
Well, you know, that's a good way of looking at it, Bob. I mean, that's how Trump has pretty much operated his entire life, is if you're going to go after somebody, you're going to destroy him. And my concern is that they're going to destroy DeSantis, and it's not going to be salvageable in 2028. So, and then we're left with Lord knows what. So, Bob.
I agree with you 100%. Todd, nice talking with you.
Bob, good talking to you, too. Take care now. And by the way, folks, you North Carolina folks, we have got a story coming up. This is unreal, and we're going to get to it in just a moment. But I'm going to go to James in Arkansas. Hey, James, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, I've called you several times before, and I'll reiterate the same thing I've told you in the past. This is for all the Christians out there that call into you and say, well, you know, I just can't support Trump, and I can't support this or that. You know what? If you're not, you're supporting the Democratic Party. And if you're a Christian and you believe that abortion is wrong, and you believe that transgenderism is wrong, and you believe that all these other things that the Democrats are doing is wrong, but you're not going to support the other side, guess who you're supporting? You're supporting the sinners out there, the Democrats that are supporting this stuff. And I'm so angry and sick of these people talking about, well, you know, I can't support this or I can't support that. You know what? Fine then. You know what? Don't support them. But then don't you dare say a word to anybody about how bad the society is getting, because if you're not going to support the other side, then you're supporting the Democrats and their push and what they're doing. And I'm sick of hearing it from people.
James, look, you're not wrong. I mean, again, if these conservatives had just gotten out and voted in massive percentage numbers, they wouldn't have been able to steal the 2020 election, and Trump would be in a second term right now. I mean, it's that simple. But again, my concern is what happens when the Republican Party decides they don't want to be the pro-life party anymore. At that point, you have to ask yourself, okay, what's the greater evil? Because they're not fiscal conservatives, right? So if they're not going to stand up for the unborn, if they're not going to stand up for the Bible and traditional values, then what's the difference between a Republican and a Democrat at that point?
Well, Todd, I don't believe there's a whole lot of difference between them, you know, now or in the past.
Good
simply
point.
Because, you know, my own representatives here in Arkansas, I told a friend of mine yesterday, I'll try to make this quick. You know what? I think we need, when we fill out a ballot, you know, you have to vote for either Democrat or Republican, right?
I'm following you.
Okay. So I think we need a third option. We need a third option on the ballot, because you have to fill out something or you can't fill out the ballot. I think we need a third option. You know what? I don't want either one of these people representing me. Give me something better and send all of them packed.
None of the above. None of the above.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I'm telling you, Todd, I'm sorry. I know you can hear the anger in my voice, but I am so sick of hearing people. And trust me, I believe in God. Now, I'm an alcoholic, Todd, and I told God the other day, finally, I said, God, whatever you want to do, I surrender. I believe in God. All right? But I also believe if you're not going to support this candidate and you're against abortion, then you're supporting the other one by default.
Yeah. All right.
So I'll tell you what, square that with your conscience.
All right. James, we got to leave it there. And I appreciate you calling in. Just, you know, again, drown your sorrows in a jug of Milo's sweet tea. It'll make you feel better. It'll take the edge off. Trust me. I have to do that frequently. Folks, James is fired up over this. And I think there's a lot of people. There's a lot of frustration out there. They see the Republicans. They're not behaving like Republicans. There's infighting. The Democrats, they're a mess, and we have got to focus solely on defeating these radical progressive Democrats. Trust me, the AOC crowd is now running the Democrat Party, and we can't have that as a country. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. You know, we've been talking a lot about China, and this could be the biggest cover-up ever. There are some brand-new congressional documents that are proving China actually funneled more than $1 million to Hunter Biden and almost a dozen other Biden family members. Big media is not covering that story, but Newsmax is. And all this week, Rob Schmidt is exposing the truth in his series, Beijing to the Bidens, The Cash Rat Line. So Rob is revealing the real story of China's big payoffs to one of America's most powerful families every night on Newsmax. You need to check it out and find out why millions are making the switch to Newsmax with Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Eric Bolling, Mike Huckabee. Tens of millions have made the switch, and I did too, and I want you to as well. It's on all major cable systems, or you can download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and start watching today. All right, want to say a very special hello to all of our Rumble television viewers. If you haven't signed up for Rumble, it's free and you can actually watch us here in the studio. So hope you are doing well today. Some people say, Starnes, why are you wearing a tie? Well, I had to do a Newsmax hit earlier today, so we tried to gussy it up a little bit. So look, about this story from North Carolina, I don't know what's happening in your state house, but I like it. I like that Republicans are fighting back. And a couple of things that have the professors up in arms. North Carolina is about to consider a plan to do away with tenure. So that's been a big problem at a lot of these universities. You have these far leftists, they can't get jobs in the real world, so they have to work at these universities. And we're paying out the wazoo with our tax dollars. And as a result, all of our public universities have become radical anti-American indoctrination centers. So Republican lawmakers in North Carolina, the Tar Heel State, are doing something about it. And I'm excited about this. But they're also doing something that has incredibly enraged the professors. Nearly 700 at the University of North Carolina signed a public letter opposing a proposed law that would require students to take classes on American government and our founding documents. I mean, don't you think it's sort of important for the children of America to know about the Declaration of Independence and the Federalist Papers and the Emancipation Proclamation and the Constitution, the Bill of Rights? Don't you think those things are important? They're not teaching that in a lot of schools. So anyway, a Republican lawmaker has introduced a bill that would require students learn about this. And the professors are enraged. They say, this is going to infringe upon our academic freedom. Harumph, 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 harumph. No. What it's going to do is infringe on their crusade to turn a generation of Americans against their own country. That's what it's going to do. So why do you think so many generations' ears oppose free speech and freedom of speech, the right to bear arms? Why do you think so many Gen Zers favor socialism over freedom? You think that kind of talk is coming from home around the supper table? I don't think so, especially in North Carolina. Maybe Charlotte and Raleigh, okay. But the rest of the state, not a chance. Asheville, too, yes, of course, the Berkeley of the South. So anyway, the kids are going to have to learn about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, all that kind of good stuff. But look, the reason why the progressives don't want your kids to know about American greatness is very simple, and it's nefarious. There's a reason they don't want them to know what rights they have in the Bill of Rights. It's because they can control stupid people. A dumbed-down population is a population they can turn to socialism. So that's what's really going on here. And thank goodness we've got some brave Republican lawmakers and bold Republican lawmakers in North Carolina, in the state house, that are saying, you know what? We're not going to tolerate this. We're going to fix the problem. We got to start educating our kids. We got to start telling our kids why America is so great. It's the greatest country on the face of the earth. And Donald Trump wants to make America great again. The question is, can he make Florida great again? Who knew it was in the crapper? Who knew? All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
It's Macy's Friends and Family. Get an extra 30% off great gifts for her just in time for Mother's Day when you use your coupon or Macy's card. And take 15% off beauty essentials. Or shop specials she'll love while supplies last.
Plus, Star Rewards members earn on every purchase except gift card services and fees at Macy's. Sign up today at Macy's.com/Star Rewards. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. I want to go back real quick to this story we shared. In the last hour of the show, there is legislation being introduced by Republicans in North Carolina that would require university students to take classes on American government and our founding documents. In other words, it's important for American young people to understand the rights they have. They need to be reading the writings of our founding fathers. And I'm curious to know how you feel about that. Do you believe that is a good idea to actually codify that, to require universities to end the state of North Carolina, and quite frankly, all over America, to teach classes on our government, our way of life? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Great to have with us the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Scott Perry. And Congressman, I have to imagine you would agree that it's good for kids to know about their heritage.
Well, Todd, thank you so much for the opportunity. And you probably know that back in the day, so to speak, everybody had what was called the McGuffey reader. And you learned about your country and why this was the and is the greatest country on the planet. And you had pride in your nation, not to say that the nation was perfect or hadn't made mistakes. We all fall short of the grace of God. But this is the idea and the ideals of this country have shaped the world view of what freedom is and what it is to be a moral upstanding nation and the things that you follow. And of course, we just all assumed that everybody would always feel that way. Unfortunately, the subversive left and particularly the communists that have been operating in our country since the 30s have been on this this steady path of changing that. And so while we just assume that everybody gets, most people, I think, a lot of people, maybe not most, but a lot of people don't even know what this country's about. They don't even know what a republic is. And if they did, I think they would be stomping mad about what's happening all around them and the freedoms and the liberties, the choices that have been taken away from them by an oppressive federal government. And so if, you know, look, I don't like any kind of mandates from government and that force us into things, but we're going to have to realize that we're in a war with the left. We are in a war with the left, which seeks to undermine the very foundations of this nation and change it into something unrecognizable to every single American. And if we're going to be in that war, we're going to have to fight without our hands tied behind our back. And so advocating for love of country and understanding of the foundation of this nation and what governance is supposed to be here and what it's not supposed to be, we can't assume that people know it. And it's going to have to be a fundamental requisite if we're going to maintain the republic that we hope to live in.
Like Reagan said, we don't pass our freedom down through the bloodstream. Every generation has to fight for it, and these kids need to understand what they're fighting for. And it's ironic because at the same time, many of these professors who are enraged over this, they're the same ones that are promoting the teaching of LGBT history and all this other kind of radical woke stuff in the classroom. So there you go.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They demand it, and they demand it come from the Department of Education at the federal level, which has absolutely zero constitutional nexus. There's no reason whatsoever that the federal government should be imposing or even encouraging one curriculum or another. And unfortunately, the one that apparently they're interested in is this critical race theory or the 1619 project or something like that. We have got to be, we've got to join this this effort to make sure people are informed about the reality of what our country is supposed to be.
Congressman, I want to move on to the debt ceiling, and I appreciate you weighing in on that. It's been a topic that, that's important to me and I think to our listeners as well, so I appreciate that. But this debt ceiling, the bill passed yesterday by two votes. We understand four Republicans voted against it, and I'm curious to know your thoughts here. Obviously, this is going to put a target back on you guys because Biden is not going to sign this. He's already said that's not going to happen. So my question is, what happens when that happens?
Well, look, he's going to continue to blame us. And what's frustrating to me as a person who has never until, well, even now, look, this is not a debt ceiling vote. This was a vote to get into the room and prove that we could pass something that we're willing to negotiate in good faith, something that's reasonable. The debt ceiling is yet to come, but he's going to continue to blame us. And what's frustrating is we've actually passed something. He said that we couldn't, and that's why he didn't have to deal with us. What we have passed something. Where's the Senate? Why aren't they even working on it? Why is this now, you know, the responsibility of the House of Representatives? We have put an offer on the table. And I know that the president has put an offer on the table. His offer is, I won't negotiate. You're just going to increase the credit card limit. Well, okay, I might not like meeting in the middle, but his position is still, I will not negotiate. You're just going to do this. And somehow this, you know, leftist media just continues to side with him and tell the American people that he's on the side of being correct. How is it responsible while our dollar is flailing in the internationally and we've reached the debt limit mostly by actions of Democrats, Joe Biden, his party, and leftists in our party? Why is it our responsibility to not only pay the bills of this wrongful spending, this unaffordable and mostly unwanted spending, but also allow them to just keep on taking the more of hard-earned tax dollars from American citizens? And so that's what's frustrating to me. I think that we're going to have to look, Todd, we're going to have to stay on offense. And I hope that there's a press conference next week in the Senate that says to Chuck Schumer, well, the House sent us a bill. Why don't you take it up and let's see if it can pass, right? Don't tell us it can't pass. You've told us that in the past, and things did move through the Senate. And then what's President Biden going to say? They're all covering for each other and their lack of willingness to actually address the problem. All they want to do is just keep on taking more money and spending more money. It is unacceptable.
So this is the quote from the speaker. We have lifted the debt ceiling. So nobody could worry about whether the debt ceiling is going to get lifted. We did it. The Democrats have not. The president wants to make sure the debt ceiling is going to be lifted. Sign this bill. So let's just assume that Schumer is not going to bring this up. What happens then? Is there going to be an effort among Democrats and Republicans to try to figure out a way to put forward a clean increase in the debt ceiling as the president has wanted?
Well, I certainly wouldn't support that, Todd. I would certainly not support that. And I would say this. Look, I think if the Senate is unwilling and the president is unwilling to negotiate, is unwilling to put a proposal forward other than just raising the credit card limit, then there's going to be a stare down and somebody's going to have to blink. And at this point, we have a bill that we have passed. 217 of us have voted for it. We had one absence. So essentially we got the 218. There's no reason for us to blink. The question is who will the American people hold responsible if there is a default? And there's really not even going to be a default, Todd. You know this, right? The Social Security Trust Fund, it's a trust fund, so it's going to keep on paying Social Security. We have revenues coming in that will pay for the Treasury markets. We're not going to not pay our veterans. We're not going to not pay Medicare claims. So those things are all going to be paid. The question is who's going to be blamed? And it's hard to me, it's hard for people, that are interested in facts and not just political rhetoric. It's going to be hard to blame Republicans in the House that passed something. Now they're going to try to, but so then it's going to be a question of who blinks. And we've told the speaker, this is our proposal. We all supported it. It's up to you now to just tell the president and to tell Chuck Schumer, that's the deal on the table. Unless you give us something else, we're not moving from that. That's our offer. That's it. And that's the end of it.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We're going to see what happens. It's now up to the Senate to figure out what they're going to do. And we're going to pay very close attention. Appreciate you coming on, as always.
All right. God bless you and your audience.
Right, thanks a lot. All right. Thanks. Scott Perry, everybody, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, represents that 12th, or that rather the 10th congressional district in Pennsylvania. So there you have it. I know what he said. That's why I wanted to read the quote from Kevin McCarthy, because this was about raising the debt ceiling. All right. The debt ceiling has been lifted, and the Republicans did that. The question is, and by the way, they had four Republicans voted against this. Andy Biggs of Arizona, Ken Buck of Colorado, Matt Gaetz of Florida, and Tim Burchett of Tennessee, who is going to be with us a little bit later in the program. So the question now is, what's going to happen? Because, look, it doesn't matter that the Republicans pass this. They're still going to get the blame. But what they cannot do is go back and give Biden a clean increase in the debt ceiling. Can't do it. If they do, the Republicans will lose Congress in 2024. I guarantee it. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Do you believe that teaching the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence ought to be mandatory for college kids in America? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
And now a special motorcycle weather report from Progressive. And today expect mostly sunny conditions with a high on life that can only come from cruising down the road on two wheels. Kids will wave, dogs will bark, and cyclists in padded shorts will instantly regret their chosen mode of transportation. Whereas you, on the other hand, will look super duper cool. Back to you in the studio. This has been a special motorcycle weather report from Progressive, where every day's a beautiful day to ride with coverage from America's number one motorcycle insurer. Get a quote today and see what you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Lauren Trump. She's got some things to say about Fox News and also her father-in-law and the polls coming out. Pretty amazing stuff. Let's go to the phones, though. 844-747-8868. James in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, James. What's on your mind?
Listen, the Republican Party ain't really been about nothing for the longest. They've always gave in to the Democrats. How you give in to some quackery as a Democrat Party is what's going on now. It's insanity. But what's more insane, that the people act like they ain't mad. These people are taking your money. I don't give a damn if you are out there in the streets. You paying for potato chips, you paying taxes. This is the same thing been going on. I'm a history buff. I ain't the best. But it's always been about getting, when you go conquer somebody, you always say you got to pay taxes. They, in Robin Hood days, taxes. They still doing the same thing, but it ain't the kings and the queens and the potentates today. It's the very people that live there that's going along with it. If these people can't get your money, the Republican Party, what they're doing now, is only because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump said, y'all got to come off of this crap. I said, I didn't need Donald Trump to tell me that. Hell, these people been spending, Americans are being pimped. The Europeans been pimping these people in America for I don't know how many years. And they go along with it.
Yeah, James.
Lost your plan.
No, it's, look, you're absolutely right about that. And by the way, they're not the, they may be the pimps, but you know who's the biggest? It's Joe Biden. And I appreciate the call, James, on KWAM. Joe Biden, and you know who the prostitutes are? The White House press corps. It's the craziest thing I've seen. So the White House press corps, let me explain this. And James is absolutely right. I mean, look, nobody's looking out for the American people. That's why Donald Trump came in and and won because he delivered on his campaign promises. So Joe Biden doing a big press avail yesterday, and somebody captured on camera the cheat sheet. They were crib notes. It's the craziest, stupidest thing I've ever seen. But here's what gets me. We all know that Joe Biden is senile. His brain is turned to porridge. And it's really sad, but that's what happens when you get old. It's going to happen to all of us. It's just the way it is. So anyway, Biden's got these crib notes, and they are incredibly detailed. It's like, you stand here. You ask the reporter. They have the reporter's photograph, the whole nine yards. Everything is written out for him because Biden can't do anything. He can't think on his feet. Everything is scripted. So here's what gets me about this. It's not so much that Biden is scripted. We get that. He's, again, porridge for brains. I understand that. What got me was they had the questions written out. So anybody at the White House want to explain how it is that Biden's team knew what the questions were in advance? And that is the million-dollar question. That's the question we ought to be asking, is why the Biden administration has access to the reporters' questions. Because they don't want to be stumped. They want to control the narrative. That's what this is all about. So that tells me, and again, every single time Biden has taken a question from the White House press corps, it has been from a predetermined list of reporters selected by Biden's staff. And every single one of those predetermined reporters have to turn in their questions. So it seems to me that we don't have a White House press corps. We have a bunch of prostitutes with ink pens and laptops. And these people are whoring themselves for the Biden administration. I want to know what reporter worth his salt would actually turn over a question to the White House, hoping and praying they get called upon on national television. Who does that? Who in their right mind would do something like that? That's outrageous. You know, there was a time not too long ago, and I'm thinking about the Donald Trump administration, when he would take questions all the time, took more questions than any other president in modern political history. And he enjoyed it. He enjoyed the back and forth. But you wouldn't see the reporters turning in their pre-approved questions to Donald Trump. At least I certainly hope not. I've never heard of anything like that. But this is nuts. But this is not on the Biden administration. This is on these reporters. Have you people no shame? Do you not take pride in your craft anymore? I know some of you are only 20 years old, and you've been given a job as the full-time White House correspondent because you're going to work cheap. But don't be cheap. That's horrible. There's nothing worse than a cheap prostitute, and that's what these people are doing in the White House press corps. Shame on you. Have a little bit of respect. Put some clothes on, for God's sakes. I mean, really. But this is the world of journalism. People want to know why they don't trust reporters. It's because of nonsense like this. There's not even a reason to hold a press briefing. Just go ahead and you got the questions. Just go ahead and write down the response and send it back. You could just email it to everybody. So we could just stay home and watch Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune. Unbelievable. Oh, well, there goes my invitation to the White House Christmas party again. All right, 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Dr. Rick here. If you find yourself getting particular about where you get the weather, you may be turning into your parents.
Looks like it might rain. Let's see what Corey from Channel 2 has to say. He's something else. I like him better than Harris from Channel 5.
You could just look up the weather on your phone.
I like Corey from Channel 2.
Progressive can't help you from becoming your parents, but we can help you compare rates on home insurance with HomeQuote Explorer. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Hey, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us our friend, a great American patriot, host of the Right View podcast, also a 2020 senior advisor for President Trump, Laura Trump. Hey, Laura, how's it going today?
It's going awesome. I'm looking forward every day to, January 20th, 2025, when we get a new president inaugurated, and I hope it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, it is. The polling data is just insane. Of course, we were talking about the Newsmax or the Newsmax story. They've got the Emerson College polling data out today with President Trump just crushing everybody. What do you think it is, Laura? Because this president is coming under attack, and let's get real, from a lot of rhinos, a lot of these establishment Republicans. And yet when you look at the polling data, it's not just one poll. It's every single poll. He's crushing it.
Well, I mean, you just said it. It's the establishment, and that goes for both sides of the aisle, whether you're talking about Democrats or Republicans. And I think the American people really had their eyes opened by Donald Trump on a whole host of fronts, obviously with our mainstream media, but also with the swamp and the fact that it is real and it does include a lot of establishment people. And I think the people of this country realized that in Donald Trump, they had a fighter who would never cower to the establishment, who would never bend based on what they thought was best. He would do what he knew was best for the American people. And honestly, that's why this country was so successful under his leadership for 4 years. That's why we didn't have any new wars started. That's why people were prospering like they hadn't in decades. That's why we had the lowest number of border crossings at our southern border. That's why it seems like on every possible issue, we were winning as a country. And I think people really get it now, Todd, and they see the way he's attacked, not only by, you know, the establishment, not only by the Democrats, but honestly by our Department of Justice. They see the target that is on Donald Trump. And I think they realize he's being targeted because he exposed a lot of people. They're terrified to get him back in the White House on the side with the Democrats, the establishment, and let's face it, the entire swamp, because all bets are off. You thought round one for Donald Trump was great. Wait until round two. Wait until he fully cleans house and does some great things for America while he's in there.
And sadly, what he predicted was true about the deep state. And he predicted that they would be coming after all of us because ultimately that's what this was about. You know, he took a lot of arrows for Americans. And now the FBI unleashed, Internal Revenue Service unleashed. They're going after law-abiding American citizens, whether it's moms and dads at school boards or, you know, even pro-lifers, law-abiding gun owners.
Yeah, he always said, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you. I'm just in the way. And it's funny because on almost any front, whenever you go back to what Donald Trump said and people were like, that's crazy, that's hysterical for anyone to ever say something like that, conspiracy theory. They've all played themselves out and they've all actually come true, Todd. And I think that is why it is so frightening for people right now, because what we see happening in America is something that many of us even 2 years ago would have said, there's no way we'll ever see a day when these things happen. They're very Orwellian in nature. They're very communist and authoritarian in nature. And if we allow this to continue, this trend to continue in America, where it feels like all of the systems that are supposed to be in place to protect us and help us are actually weaponized against us, we lose our country. And once that happens, we don't get it back. Think about how hard our, you know, founders of our country had to fight for America. Now is our time. We have to stand up and we have to fight just that hard because we only get one shot at this. And we, you know, we don't have any time to waste. And I think people have really woken up and they see the writing on the wall. And it is a very frightening time for Americans.
Laura, I'm curious to get your take on your father-in-law's comments about the debates. And I think he has legitimate concerns, but we all know that they're gonna go after Trump. They always do. So it's not going to be fair. But you know what? He can take them all on. But the question is whether or not he will show up at the debates. What can you tell us? Any updates? Any clarification?
Well, just as an American citizen, I love a Donald Trump debate.
Man, I do,
those
too.
Are prime time. Yeah, those are prime time watching right there. I think we all remember the one-liners from especially 2016 and 2015. those were a great time. You know, you look, Todd, at the polling. I think my father-in-law referenced this whenever he was asked about it. He is 50 points above the closest person who is a declared candidate for president on the Republican side, and that's Nikki Haley. Donald Trump is polling at 53%, Nikki Haley polling at 4%. I mean, that shows you that a vast majority of the Republican voters in this country would vote for Donald Trump if that, you know, the primary were held today. The other factor that I don't think people have ever had to address, and I don't think we've ever found ourselves in a place like this, is Donald Trump was president one time, right? And it wasn't that long ago. 2.5 years ago, Donald Trump was president. And so oftentimes, I think whenever we talk about debates, why do we have them? And we forget about this reason. It is to hear directly from the candidates their positions on certain things. How would this individual be as president? Well, he's done that. So we know how Donald Trump is as president. We know the policies. We know the foreign policy, domestic policy. We know the things he did and achieved while he was president. And let's, you know, he's pretty open about his thoughts on just about everything there is. That said, I don't have a direct update from the campaign or from my father-in-law. I think we'll have to wait and see as those approach, you know, what the polling shows and what the American people decide they ultimately want.
And I like using these as lessons in how the mainstream media operates, because that's all we've been hearing is Trump refuses to debate. No, that's not what he said. But what was reported on the Democrat side is actually a whole heck of a lot worse, in my opinion, and nobody's covering it. The Democrat Party is not going to be holding any debate. So even if Biden has challengers, no debates for the Democrats. So there you go. Laura, I want to get your take on what happened with Tucker Carlson. He's living the good life, looks like. Put out a video yesterday riding around with his wife on a golf cart. Well, what's your take on what happened at Fox?
Yeah, he looked very happy. He looked like he was relieved that maybe he could finally enjoy life. I think he said, I'll finally be able to have a normal dinner with my wife for the first time in like 15 years. You know, I think Tucker Carlson, look, he's one of the leaders out there in truth. And we need that so desperately here in America. And I think so many people tuned in to watch him on Fox because he really did deliver the truth on a nightly basis. And he spoke up about things that perhaps were not popular to talk about in the moment, but really weigh heavily on us as a country if we do not talk about them. And I don't think there's any doubt he will remain a strong voice and a top voice in the conservative movement. And, you know, in freedom and all freedom loving Americans, I think can really respect Tucker Carlson and what he was able to do. I think it's sad that he is no longer at Fox. I think that they've felt the results of Tucker leaving in a very negative way for their bottom line. Long term, perhaps they think it will be profitable for them or more profitable not to have him there. But I do think it's a big loss for them because so many people looked up to Tucker and really tuned in to hear what he had to say, because there was no doubt that he was going to deliver the truth to you, good, bad, indifferent, ugly. He was handing it to you directly. And I think we're all looking forward now to seeing what he will do, because I don't think we've heard the last from Tucker Carlson. He will be a success wherever he ends up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I, you know, just like Tucker, I was there 14 years. And at the end, it was really kind of a relief. You know, it was kind of odd. You never know how you're going to respond. But it was kind of like, all right, time to go back home. And there you go. So he's going to do fine. He's going to wind up somewhere great. And we look forward to seeing what happens with Tucker and you as well, Laura. It's always great having you on the program. I know your podcast is just crushing it right now. The Right View. What you got coming up on the podcast?
Well, we just had a great show where we talked about China. You know, this is something I don't think anyone was talking about pre-Donald Trump. He obviously was mocked and ridiculed for bringing China into, you know, the topic of conversation. You look at them now, Todd, we better keep our eye on China because they are salivating, waiting for their chance to overtake us as the superpower of the world. Our latest episode, we talk in depth about China and all the things that people probably are not aware that they're doing right here in our own backyard. We always have a fun time, though. We keep it light. We keep it fun as often as we can. So itsTheRightView.com, and we'd love to see you there.
All right. Laura Trump, ladies and gentlemen. Laura, always appreciate you coming on the show.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
All right. There you go, folks. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. We're going to go to your calls coming up next. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And let's go to the phones. Tom in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. It's good to talk to you. Appreciate you taking my call. I just want to weigh in on DeSantis and Trump. You know, this primary is kind of like the regular season in professional sports. You have a regular season.
Oh, I think we lost Tom. Give us a call back if we can reestablish that connection there. Sorry about that, Tom. Sometimes that happens. Hit one of those AT&T. You must have AT&T service. That happens all the time. And I want to play some audio. This is from Texas, the State House there, State Representative Matt Schaefer. And he's standing up for corporal punishment in schools. I want you to listen to this audio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members. Our children are made in God's image. They're given to parents to raise and to care for. And under current state law, a public school cannot use corporal punishment without the parents' consent. That's current law. So if a school paddles a student, they're doing so with the parents' consent. Now that God who made those children gave us some advice for our children. Proverbs 13:24 says, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. We would be wise members to follow the design that God has for disciplining children because we love them, because we want to see their future be bright. And that's for that reason I oppose this bill.
All right, so there's a bill on the floor that would ban corporal punishment in schools. And the question at hand is whether or not principals, assistant principals, or teachers should be allowed to lay a hand on a child. Now, when I was growing up, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, but when I was growing up, corporal punishment was a thing. It was a thing in grade school, middle school, high school. I graduated in the 1980s. And so they were still whooping kids in the principal's office of the 1980s. This is public high school now. And yeah, there were problems, but I will say this, we didn't have mass shootings back in the day. We didn't have people carrying on and fighting their teachers in the classroom, throwing desks. We didn't have any of that nonsense. And I went to a big high school, but nobody did that kind of stuff. And I think one of the reasons why is that we feared leadership. We feared the principal walking down the hallway or the assistant principal. And it's interesting because one of the state lawmakers there in Texas, a guy by the name of Steve Toth, he represents the Woodlands area. And he says kids do need to fear leadership. And I think there's something to that. Now, it's interesting because even a lot of conservatives say, no, we don't need corporal punishment in schools. Texas, by the way, one of 19 states, most of them in the South, that allow corporal punishment. Colorado and Idaho passed bills earlier this month to ban the practice. So the question is, should parents, or rather, should school teachers be allowed to use corporal punishment to keep law and order in the classroom? I mean, there was a time, I remember in grade school, where you were terrified of your teacher. I mean, you respected your teachers, but you wanted to do good. You wanted to make your teacher proud. And if you didn't, well, you know, you felt bad. But now these public schools are, man, they're like war zones. It's like, I've never seen anything like it. But you ought to see all the videos on all the different platforms, kids acting the fool and beating each other up, teachers standing by, and they don't know what to do, because if the teacher jumps in and pulls two kids apart, will the parent sue the teacher? And then you've got situations where the kids are actually beating up the teachers. And it seems to me at that point, teacher, you have an obligation to beat the holy living crap back out of that kid. I'm just saying, I mean, if a kid lays hands on you and is trying to kill you, I think that you as a teacher have a right to defend yourself. And also, teach the rest of the children in the class, you mess with me, you're going to be picking your teeth up off the floor. I'm just saying. But corporal punishment, do you think that's the way to get law and order back into public schools? 844-747-8868. All right, we got Tom back with us, wanting to weigh in on Trump and DeSantis. All right, Tom, what you got for us?
I'm sorry about that. Appreciate you taking my call. I hope you can hear me. But I think people are misreading the Trump and DeSantis. This is kind of like Major League Baseball or football. The primary is the regular season. And you don't have anybody on your team in the regular season. Everybody's out for themselves. And so he's fighting for the Trump's fighting for the playoff spot to get in the playoffs. And he's going to be attacking everybody, and I think he has a right to. And, you know, when the Republicans have, I mean, DeSantis is running. Fox News is supporting him. He's met with the Bushes. Karl Rove's backing him, and, you know, the establishment wants him to run, and he's going to run. But I think Trump has the right to attack him, and I think he should. And let's see if Trump wins, let's see who comes on his side. They didn't come on his side the last time.
Well, we'll see how all this plays out, Tom, and it may be some sort of orchestrated ballet, political ballet. I don't know. It seems to me that we need to make sure that DeSantis is ready for the future, because I do think he's going to be a presidential contender, and we'll just have to wait and see what that looks like. So, Tom, appreciate that call. Glad you were able to get back to us. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I will say this. We've got some great stuff happening over on our website and especially over at the store. Check it out. There's some good stuff there. You want to get some coffee mugs, T-shirts, and, of course, all of my books are available over at toddstearns.com, as well as some great stories. Caleb Park and our team writing some stories that you will not find on other news platforms. And just a reminder, we mentioned this in the first hour of the program. If you're tired of the ads, we've got an ad-free version, so you'll be able to get all of my columns, all of my commentaries, and you'll be able to get that for $5 a month. You just have to go to Substack, toddstearns.substack.com, and check that out. All right, got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. Another full hour of conservative conversation coming your way. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to hour three of the big show. Congressman Tim Burchett is going to be coming up a little bit later on. Also, we're going to get to your call. A lot of you folks want to weigh in on corporal punishment, so we'll talk about that. But earlier I had mentioned to you a couple of warning signs that Republicans might be getting a little squishy on some of the culture war issues. And a few days ago, Peter Thiel, the big Republican mega donor, said he's not going to be given any more money because of the Republican Party's decision to embrace culture war issues like traditional marriage, like the opposition to transgenderism. And then you have the abortion issue, which Ronna McDaniel made a point of noting that the abortion issue cost Republicans votes in Wisconsin. A lot of people are wondering what that's all about. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us Timothy Head. He is the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. And I figured if anybody would know what's going on, Timothy Head would. Hey, Timothy, good to have you with us.
Well, thanks as always. It's always great to be with you, Todd. Thanks for talking about these issues. And, you know, it seems like the longer we do this, the more we end up kind of in the same conversations, you know, about every 4 or 6 years, doesn't it?
You know, it does. And I think a lot of people forget that it's those values voters that are actually winning Republicans' elections. I'm not sure why they would want to try and alienate those people.
Well, so not only so nationally, basically for about the last 36 to 40 years, the Christian voters, value voters that you alluded to, make up about 36-37% of the entire electorate, which also makes it for about really close to 70% of the Republican voting block. So you know, that's I think one way you think of that is kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face a little bit. You know, so I think that these some of these political politicos and donors probably should tread a little bit lightly there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, and I hear a lot of talk, a lot of scuttlebutt. You know, it's like, oh, we need to kind of soften our messaging here. Well, I don't think we should. I mean, I think you have to play smart politics. But it seems to me, especially on the abortion issue, this was a matter of just very poor messaging.
Well, and not only poor messaging, but frankly, to be honest with you, some flawed messengers. Okay, so you know, and I think it's, you know, it's easy to kind of rewrite history a little bit after things don't go exactly like you hope they would, but. You know, I think that it's very easy to kind of castigate or just say, well, gosh, you know, we there were some controversial issues that that were that kind of cut both ways, and so if we would just not talk about those controversial issues, that everything would just go swimmingly. Well, first of all, that's not an accurate read, and second of all, the other side is not going to stop talking about controversial issues. Okay, so that's a bit of unilateral disarmament, by the way, politically speaking.
Timothy, I'm curious, when you guys are out there and you guys do more than just hold awesome conferences, I mean, there is really boots on the ground, you're knocking on doors, and I want you to explain to our listeners the impact you guys are having, especially among voters.
Well, you know, we like to say that the day after the election, we have a special term for the day after an election in America that's just called Wednesday for us at the Faith and Freedom Coalition. That we just kind of keep marching, and honestly, this has been we're certainly not done this year, but this has been the most effective, I would say, successful legislative cycle that we've seen across the country and in red states, friendly states for us. You know, you mentioned the conference is coming up in about 2 months, but we're still kind of week in and week out going through the process of registering voters across the country, continuing to find new candidates that are going to be stalwarts on issues that we believe are central to not just kind of political strategy, but frankly, just to American fidelity, the biblical truth, you know. So I think that it's important for people to know that this is not a, you know, politics doesn't just start on Labor Day before elections. This is truly a year in, year out, and frankly for us, a week in and week out endeavor.
Any insight you can give us? I know we're a bit out from the presidential election and the elections of 2024, but any idea the mood of the electorate? What are you guys sensing out there?
Yeah, good question. You know, interestingly enough, just a few days ago on Saturday of last weekend, our Iowa chapter for Faith and Freedom Coalition held its first presidential forum in Des Moines, Iowa, and I was really eager to see not only, you know, candidates that might show up, but frankly what their crowd was going to be like. And we had 8 candidates and almost 1,300 people show up for about a 3.5 hour forum where 8 different candidates were able to spend about 15 minutes telling Iowa voters, faith voters, where they stand on certainly faith-related issues, but also on, you know, economy and security and things like that. And so I would say I was very, very pleased to see just this energy level. It was very, very high intensity. People did not leave. We were there till 11 o'clock at night, and every seat was filled. So, you know, I think early kind of results, if you will, I'm very, very encouraged that I think that people are super, super engaged.
Wow. That's exciting to hear, especially at this early stage. Now, are you guys going to be doing any more of these presidential forums around the country?
We will. So our Rotary Majority Conference is an annual conference, but certainly in an election cycle like we're in right now, that'll have a heavy kind of emphasis on presidentials. And so, you know, we're not quite ready to announce specific names, but I'll just go ahead and tell you that the names that you would expect to be a part of that will be a part of that. That's June 22nd, 3rd, and 4th in Washington, D.C. But then we're also expecting to have another similar event in September back in Des Moines. We'll have another one in kind of the North Carolina, South Carolina border in late September. And then we'll have another one in Atlanta, Georgia in kind of mid-September as well. So we've got four more things on the books. And frankly, there's more to come that we're still kind of working on. So, you know, we see ourselves as kind of like matchmakers more so than kingmakers. We try to introduce voters to candidates and candidates to voters and, you know, let people make up their own minds.
Yeah, you see, I like that. And again, these are great conferences, folks. You're going to be getting a lot of great information. You're going to be exposed to a lot of good thinkers, and you get to hear from the candidates. And that's important for you to see them and to hear them as they take the questions and the answers. If you'd like information on all the great work that Faith and Freedom Coalition is doing, go to ffcoalition.com. That's ffcoalition.com. And again, Timothy, the upcoming conference, can they get information about that there as well?
That the information and registration is right there on that website. You just mentioned ffcoalition.com, the kind of initial landing page gets you information for registering the conference. And, you know, as we announce speakers specifically, that'll show up there as well. But, you know, as always, that's a high energy, a lot of momentum and enthusiasm at a place like that. We're expecting 2,500, 3,000 people to be at the Washington Hilton. And frankly, I think it's a great opportunity also for Washington, D.C. and the media to kind of be reminded that the people of God have not just kind of like slinked back and you know, slept into the furniture, that we're alive and well, and we believe strongly, and we have a lot of hope for the future.
Well said. And folks, I've had a chance to speak at that conference many times, and this is one you need to be at. So be sure to head over to the website, ffcoalition.com, and to get all the information and get signed up. All right, Timothy, we better leave it there. I know you've got a lot going on. We appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk with us.
Always a treat to be with you, Tom. Thanks so much, and God bless.
All right. There you go, folks. Good people. And they get it. They understand what's going on, what's at stake. Very well-respected organization founded by Ralph Reed, Faith and Freedom Coalition, and they do good work out there. All right, 844-747-8868 is our phone number. Interesting story out of Nashville. So there is a Christian school, the Nashville Christian School, and they just had a prom. Now, this is a Christian school, and the Christian school has certain rules and regulations. My philosophy is if you don't like the rules and regulations, don't go to the Christian school. So one of the students, an 18-year-old, who is a female, but she identifies as non-binary. And the 18-year-old was banned from going to the prom because she wore a suit and not a dress. So the Christian school has a rule. If you want to go to the prom, girls wear dresses, guys wear suits. It's not that shocking. They've been doing this since suits were made, since Brooks Brothers started. So anyway, they told this young lady, hey, look, because they got wind of this, and they said, hey, look, here's the deal. You know, you can't go to the prom if you're going to wear a suit. So what did she do? Well, she showed up outside the prom, and she posted this on Instagram and had a sign that said, they would not let me in because I'm in a suit. No, they would not let you in because you broke school rules. And by the way, she knew about the rules. The 18-year-old, and I'm not going to mention the child's name, but she's putting her own name out there, but I don't want to do that. It's a kid. I should not have to conform to femininity to attend my senior prom. I will not compromise who I am to fit in a box. Who are you to tell me what it means to be a woman? Well, according to Dylan Mulvaney, you got to wear a dress to be a woman. I just wanted to point that out. So now the kid's getting all this notoriety. Local business owners decided to throw this girl her own prom as if she's some sort of a victim here. Now the school, and this is very interesting, the school is defending itself. And they say, well, wait a second. And they sent a statement to NPR, National Public Welfare Radio. The school says, we have established dress requirements for daily school attendance and at our special events. All students and families are aware of and sign an agreement to these guidelines when they enroll. The school went on to say, its expectations regarding appropriate prom attire were communicated to the student and the student's family in advance of the prom. While we respect a student's right to disagree, all of our students know from our school handbook that when they do not follow such expectations at school-sponsored events, they may be asked to leave. Well, I say good for the school. Normally, the schools would back down and apologize. Oh, we're so sorry. Well, they didn't do that. So anyway, a local business owner in a liberal part of town, which is becoming just about all of Nashville, decided they would throw their own prom to help the child celebrate. All right, and you know what? That's good for them. That is their right. But again, the school has rules. If you don't like the rules, don't go to the school. All right, got to take a break. Your calls coming up. All right, you know, Don Lemon's looking for work. I think he tried to apply here, but we don't have any openings. Sorry, Don. Anyway, Rick Ross, the great rapper, owns a franchise of Wingstops. The chicken wing place, right? So anyway, Rick Ross decided to help out Don Lemon. Cut number one, please.
It's the biggest boss in the game, Ricky Rose. Just found out Don Lemon was terminated from CNN. Don, well, guess what? The brothers got your back. We hiring at Wingstop. And for some reason, I believe you know what you're doing with them lemon pepper wings. So, man, just send over your resume. Well, for 17 years. But I'm going to make sure I get you in front of the right grill, brother. Stay solid, brother.
So you stay solid, brother. All right, good for you, Rick. Appreciate that. And I'm sure Don might have to take you up on that offer. Listen, Al Sharpton was all upset. Well, we gotta make sure that CNN does an investigation. Because Don Lemon was a great, great journalist. Well, let me say this. Don Lemon was about as much as a journalist as Al Sharpton is a preacher. I'll just leave that there. Hey, let's go to the phones. Tom in Pennsylvania wants to weigh in on corporal punishment. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
How are you, Todd?
I'm good. Thanks for asking, Tom.
Well, I understand, you know, what you're saying about fear. There's one term you never hear anymore, and I'd like to have a dollar for every time I heard it growing up, and I'm sure you heard it. Respect your elders. Kids today, they don't respect anything. Their elders, teachers, the police, people's property. They're just not taught it at home no more, it seems like.
Tom, it's a great point, and I, you know, when I was a kid, and when you say fear, it's like fear the Lord your God. You know, when you saw that principal coming down the hallway with that fiberglass panel strapped to his belt, yeah, there was a little bit of fear there, but you respected the guy, and you know, you didn't want to get in trouble. But you're right. It's what really gets me though is the lack of respect for the police, and you see that a lot of. I mean, what was it over the weekend in Tybee Island, Georgia, where they literally destroyed a police truck, and they were twerking on top of it.
I'm retired from the Maryland State Police, and I'm telling you, the last 10 years was just insane.
Is that right?
Like what, never talked to them how to deal with the police.
Tom, what was that like for you?
I'm going to argue with you. It's what caused me to retire early. And I just thought, hey, it's just getting worse and worse. There you stay.
Tom, how did people treat you? You said those last 10 years were just insane.
Well, in the beginning, you know, you walk up the car, they say, hello, trooper, you know, whatever you had to do with them, thank you, and they go on their way. Now, as soon as you went up to them, they want to start arguing with you. What'd you pull me over for? I didn't do nothing. You know, every time, nobody ever just said, handed me their license and registration and moved on. Everything you told them to do, they wanted to argue with you. They didn't want to do it. It just was totally different than when I first started.
Well, it's
totally
really
different.
Yeah, it's sad. I wouldn't wish that on anybody nowadays. And I know a lot of people are either retiring, you know, they're getting out, they're having trouble finding people that want to be cops. You know, that went bad in Memphis because they just lowered their standards and they hired a bunch of criminals who ended up killing this poor guy. Tyree Nichols was his name. And, you know, they've been arrested and charged and, you know, justice will hopefully be served there. But the point is,
yeah.
I just think people, you know, and you're right. And that comes from mom and dad. Mom and dad have to teach that in the home. And if they don't, it's not going to happen outside the home.
Right. I have people tell me, oh, my kid's 16 and he won't do this and he won't do that. I said, now you want to try and train him? Now that he's 16?
Yeah.
Where were you the first 15 years?
That's it. That's it. All right, Tom, we got to run. We're running late for a break here. Appreciate that call and enjoy retirement, sir. 844-747-8868. Isn't that true, though? Tom said you got a 16-year-old that's being disrespectful. Yeah, by that time, it's too late. You got to start from day one, right? I mean, you moms and dads know that. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
A toast to our new college grad who fills us with so much joy, almost as much as when we're in our RV. Oh, the world is your oyster, kiddo, and ours too. Now that we're covered with Progressive, Dad and I can hop in our RV anytime we want. Might even splurge on a retractable awning. Ooh, look out! Sorry, what was I talking about?
Protect your loved one with an RV policy from Progressive. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you could save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Oh, this is sad. So Biden's taking questions from the children, and a little child asked Biden the last country he visited, and Biden said he couldn't remember. He couldn't remember. He was in Ireland last week. He was in Ireland last week, and he didn't even remember that until a kid told him. So a little tiny kid told Biden that he was in Ireland. Unbelievable. Porridge for brains, I'm telling you. By the way, Kamala Harris says, talking about cultural ties between the U.S. and South Korea, she said the Netflix series Squid Game is an example of the cultural ties between our country. Are you buying any of this, folks? Unbelievable. So earlier, Biden asked a child if she wanted to go and take a tour of the White House. She said, no, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. See, the kids know. They know. They know. All right, let's go to the phones. Kathy in North Carolina wants to talk about corporal punishment. Hi, Kathy. What's going on? Hello, Kathy.
Go back to the spoil the child.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yeah. And, you know, when I went to school, I knew if I got in trouble at school, I was really going to get it when I got home. Didn't hurt me a bit because my mother is my best friend. And I know when she spanked me, she did it right, and she meant business when she did it. And we were told when we were growing up, and there were six of us, if a cop pulls you over, yes, sir, no, sir, you hand him your driver's license, your registration, and shut your big mouth. And these kids nowadays, hey, if they want to record it, record it. But shut your mouth, hand him your driver's license, your registration, yes, sir, and no, sir, because you should respect him. If he were to show up at your house, But somebody was breaking in, even though you want to defund them, he'd still do the job.
Yeah, Kathy, I thought that was just my parents that said the you know, if you get in trouble at home, you're going to get it twice as bad when you get home. I just thought that was my parents.
No, that's like my grandson. He told his teacher the other day, one of the kids got in trouble, and my grandson says, oh, his mama might get him. And she just looked at him, and she said, what are you talking about? He said, my grandma will spank my tail when I get home, and then my mom will spank me when I get home. And I'm my grandson's best friend, so you can't tell me that if you spank them right, they don't love.
There you go. Well, Kathy, I appreciate that call. Thank you for that. And again, going back to this story out of Texas where Republicans are standing up and defending corporal punishment in public schools, they say that's the only way to keep the peace, law and order. All right, there you go. 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend Congressman Tim Burchett from Tennessee District 2 joins us. Hey, Congressman, how are you today?
I'm great, brother. How are you doing? Thank you for having me on.
Doing well. Before we get into this vote yesterday, so President Biden's taken questions from the children, and they asked him about the last time he visited a foreign country, and he could not remember that he was in Ireland last week.
Yeah. Well, he probably didn't remember he's with those kids right after he walked off stage.
It's true.
But yeah, this thing's just getting... I don't know if you caught the latest one. I believe he was with the South Korean president, and he was had his list of questions in front of him, and he called on. He said, the first question we'll take is from ABC, and he gave the name of the lady and maybe what question she was going to ask her. So, I mean, you know, it's just staged. The national media is in bed with this guy, and that's why they're – I don't know what their plan is now, but, it's embarrassing.
I will say this, Congressman. Last night, the big state dinner, and the South Korean president, the guy, he really surprised me. He actually sang American Pie, the song at the state dinner. Did you catch that? That was pretty entertaining, actually.
That was pretty cool, actually. That was funny.
Oh, my goodness. We'll play some of that a little bit later. But, Congressman, I want to jump into this vote. You were one of four Republicans to vote no on the debt ceiling. You know, I'm curious to know why you do that. Why your no vote?
Well, I've always voted against raising the debt ceiling. I voted against it when Trump was in office. I felt it was disingenuous. We didn't. I'm concerned about allowing our country to go into another $1.5 trillion in additional debt every year if you do, plus other things. Over 10 years, that works out to almost $17 trillion. We're saying this is cutting, all we're doing is cutting the rate of growth. It's still growing, and it's growing at an exponential amount, and it's just very disingenuous. You know, we're already $32 trillion in debt, and that's going to be passed on to our kids and our grandkids and great-grandchildren. I think we owe them a little bit more than just to be impoverished. And, you know, the American dollar has decreased in value in the last 2 years. At 15%. So if you were making $100,000 2 years ago, you have the buying power of $85,000 now. Tennessee, you know, we run a balanced budget state. Debt, zero debt. It's bond ratings through the roof. I would like to see higher work requirements in the Medicaid part of it, 30 hours instead of a 20-hour work week. But I understand that kicked in some other Obamacare thing. So, but I feel like we need to have a balanced budget. And if we'd have just gone back to pre-pandemic levels of spending, we'd be back to a balanced budget, if you can imagine that, because our economy has grown so much that if we could just tighten our belt just a little bit, not even tighten our belt, if we would just cut out some of the abuse, I just think we could get there. And these sacred cows, everybody wants to make cuts except at the Pentagon. I would start at the Pentagon. You know, in the last audit, I think they lost over $1 billion, unclaimed $1 billion. That's a good start right there.
How do you do that? How do you lose that much?
That's a great question. It's not black ops either. It's just, I think it's corruption. I think you're paying contractors more than you should, and they just allow it to happen. Cost overruns, things like that. You know, for an example, you know, our revenue in fiscal year 2022, it was more than U.S. spending in fiscal year 2019. So, you know, we could balance the budget if we would just do like we do at home. Most people, most American families do. And we're just, you know, and I, of course, I'm being called everything by everybody, and all these groups are like, oh, I can't believe, you know, you voted against the largest cut in American history. It wasn't the largest cut. It was a cut in the rate of growth. We're still growing. We're just, you know, that's a freshman accounting trick.
Well, you know, not only that, and not only that, Congressman, and we called out a Republican yesterday on the show. He was on the show, and my argument is there are no guarantees. You know, this is over a 14-year span, but if the Democrats jump back in, you know, all of that goes away. So it's really a little disingenuous here, what they were trying to sell.
Yeah, it's more than a little disingenuous. It's a whole lot in disingenuous. It's and honestly, Kevin McCarthy has done a masterful job of bringing things into this bill and bringing everybody to the table. But I still, it's you know, I gave my word and I kept it. So it's funny. I'm getting attacked by these Democrats. I can't believe you didn't, you know, and I want to go back and say every Democrat voted to do it.
It's
you know,
true.
Because it's just purely partisan on their nature. I mean, they were afraid of the cuts, and I wanted more cuts.
Well, I think the bigger issue here, Congressman, is what happens if, you know, if the Republicans don't take it up in the Senate, or if they do, and they approve it for, you know, that'd be a miracle, but Biden's going to veto. At that point, I think we really, it's going to get very interesting, because the Republicans are going to have to make some pretty, pretty tough decisions.
Absolutely. Where are they then? And I get it. You know, everybody has their own reasons, but, you know, I gave my word, and I, you know, just how atrocious people thought the spending was under Trump, you know, and now they're, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me, Todd. It's just, but it's Washington speak. It's accounting. It's this new math they're teaching in schools, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it is just being dishonest. And we need to tell the people the truth. All we're doing is cutting the rate in growth. We're not really cutting real dollars, because we haven't spent those dollars yet.
It's a great point. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We appreciate you being a man of your word. I mean, that says a lot and goes a lot these days.
Well, might get me unelected, but we'll see.
Highly unlikely. Congressman, we appreciate you. Congressman Tim Burchett from the 2nd Congressional District of Tennessee. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. As we're going to break here, I want you to listen to the president of South Korea singing American Pie last night at the state dinner.
A long, long time ago. Woo! Woo! Music used to make me smile. Now I really have a chance that I could let those people dance and make me very happy for a while. I think you really made me shiver. Will you pay for I deliver bad news on the doorstep? I couldn't have one more step. I can't remember if I tried. Well, the bodies with O'Brien, something touched me deep inside the day the music died.
The following is a message from the future, sent by Jamie from Progressive.
Back in 2023, you could get help from Progressive online, through our mobile app, or over the phone. But here, in the future, you'll be able to chat with us from space. maybe you're asking, why are you spending time on insurance in space? Shouldn't you be sculpting something out of moon rocks or jumping around with no gravity? Insurance seems more like a back on Earth kind of thing, right? Actually, in the future, space is no big deal. Errands are totally appropriate.
That was a message from the future. Get the help you need today with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers.
All right, welcome back, everybody. By the way, be sure to check out ToddStearns.com. Download our free podcast and our free newsletter. We just like to make sure you have that info. If you miss one of the interviews, you can go back and listen to it on the podcast. Let's go to the phones here from Louisiana. Bo on the line. Hi, Bo. What's going on?
Hey, Mr. Todd. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking, Bo.
Well, I want to let you know that my grandma had one of them little willow trees with those little switches on it.
Woo!
And I mean, she would tell you hide it with them little things.
Mm. Would she make you go out and get the switch, Bo?
She already had a bunch of them put up because she knew all those boys was pretty bad. So.
Well,
but my thing is that I've always said, I got my tail tore up all the time, and I still believe I turned out a pretty good feller. So,
well, that's what I was going to ask, because you know, if you buy into these liberals, they're like, no, you should talk to your child, you should reason with your child.
No, you can't be friends with them. You need to be the parent on them.
I do know this, when the last words you hear from your mother are "because I said so," it's always best not to respond. So
you better ride. Like I said, my grandma whooped us, but if my grandpa got you, it was a whole different story on that one. So
you better run fast.
You better not run at all, because that's going to hurt you more, though.
Well, that's a good point. But we all turned out okay, Bo, right?
You betcha. I'm thankful for every one of them I got.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, I hear you. Some of those are fresh in my memory.
Yeah, I hear you, Mr. Todd. I sure appreciate you, sir.
Well, thank you for listening, Bo. And what part of Louisiana are you calling from?
I'm in Keysville. I'm south of Shreveport.
All right. That's good country up there. God's country.
Well, I'm really from Arkansas, but I live in Louisiana now. A woman brought me to Louisiana, so.
Well, then you're a blessed man, so good cooking. Good cooking.
You betcha, man. I got a good one.
All right, Bo, you take care now. Appreciate you calling in. Yeah, look, I think those of us who grew up in the South and the Midwest, I think we can all relate. But I suspect some of you moms and dads up there in the northern states, you got down to business too. But one of the worst phrases is "go get me a switch." That's never good. Got an interesting story, and we'll do a deeper dive on this tomorrow. There is from Turning Point USA, a teacher was caught berating kids who objected to an LGBTQ lesson, and the teacher said, "You don't have a choice," and she warned that any student who had a problem with gay lessons would be dealt with severely. This is what's happening in schools. I think this happened over in the UK. This is from Turning Point UK. And we'll have the audio tomorrow, but a teacher actually recorded, or the teacher was recorded, threatening these kids. I'm telling you, it is hardcore. They are cramming an agenda down everybody's throats. So we'll get into more of that tomorrow. So, look, another interesting story, and we're going to be following this, is who's going to replace Tucker? A lot of people wondering who's going to replace Tucker, and who do you think should replace Tucker Carlson at 8 o'clock? Do you even care? I'm very anxious to see the ratings from last night's show. They're trending downwards, and I think people are saying enough is enough. Now, a lot of people said that about Bill O'Reilly when he got fired from Fox, that it was all over. And it turned out not to be. Fox, they took a tumble in the ratings and then came back, and Tucker had done very well for them. But I think we're living in a very different age and time now. You know, a lot has changed over the past several years. But if you were asking me who do I think would be a replacement for Tucker? I'd have to say right out of the gate, I think they're going to go with a female, probably somebody like a Tulsi Gabbard. And I think that Fox is trying to figure out a way to moderate its primetime lineup. And I know that there are some diehard Fox fans that don't like to hear that, but that's the only conclusion I have here, is that they're trying to moderate what you see, what you hear on Fox News Channel. And they've got a lot of, look, they have a lot of Bushies in the, in over at Fox News Channel at 1211 6th Avenue. They have a lot of former Bush administration people. Karl Rove is a regular. You got Paul Ryan on the board of directors. You've got what, Perino, who is the former spokesperson for George Bush there. So, yeah, you've got a lot of establishment types working there, and I think they want to, they see that Fox can be more useful to them if they are more centrist. So I don't think they're going to go full-blown leftist, but they are going to move to the left to get to the center. But Tulsi Gabbard, Kayleigh McEnany would be another choice. Maybe Pete Hegseth, but I don't know. Do you think any of those could actually carry the intellectual heft of someone like a Tucker Carlson? Well, we'll have to wait and see. All right, been a good show, everybody. Again, ToddStearns.com if you want to download our podcast and our newsletter. Great free resources for you there. Tomorrow, Friday, got a great show for you. In the meantime, you be good, America.